Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We've got a sensitive topic in the series on the Holy Spirit, grieving and resisting the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, keep us back from that transgression. Help us to understand how we can bring joy to the Holy Spirit's heart. We're glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School today. Welcome and welcome to the team. What a great series of studies this has been. And I'm excited today because Puhi is going to teach one of our team, going to lead us in the study of this important topic, Puhi, and I know we'll be blessed as we study together. We're always happy to hear from you. It's amazing to see so many Hope Sabbath School members around the world, and we just want to thank you for writing to us, sshope@hopetv.org. And it brings joy to our hearts, not only to hear from you, but to hear what God is doing in your heart and through you. So thanks for writing. Melissa writes from Brazil. Thank you, Melissa. She says, hi, brothers and sisters in Jesus.
Hi.
What a wonderful opportunity we have to watch Hope Sabbath School every week here in Brazil. It's great to improve our English and learn more about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The way you speak is wonderful. Your English is clear and easy to understand. I'm trying to motivate us today, right? We really see your effort to make all of us around the world part of your class, even though English may not be our native language. It makes me think how amazing life will be when we are in heaven together, all praising God, part of the big family of God. Amen.
Amen.
She says, sorry if I made mistakes. Well, actually, you did a great job, Melissa. And we're glad that you're not only learning more about English, but most of all, drawing closer to Jesus. We've got someone from Ghana. Daniel, can you wave? And let's get Daniel. We'll give Daniel a wave. That's from Kenneth. Thanks, Kenneth. Thank you, Lord, Daniel writes, for giving young men and women who show such an interest in the Bible. My family and I join the numerous viewers around the globe every Friday evening in our home, and I must say these interactive Bible studies have been very beneficial. Thank you, fellow believers, for the great work you do every week. He concludes, I feel the Lord is in control of Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
That's our prayer, right?
Yes.
Please keep what you're doing to make a positive impact for viewers in this generation. I join the thousands who are continually praying for you. Amen?
Amen.
Even today, as we share the Word of God together, to know that Daniel there in Ghana is praying for us. Here's a note from Dawn and Ruthie in Georgia in the United States. And they say, the Hope Sabbath School lessons are such a help. Very well done. You've got a great team. Thanks for the time and prayer in preparation. It's a bright spot in our week.
Amen.
Well, Don and Ruthie, thanks for writing to us from Georgia and all the way from Zambia. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. Elder Mulenga writes, greetings, Hope Sabbath School members.
Greetings.
I recently accessed your program in my home, and now I can't wait to watch you twice a week on Hope Channel Zambia.
Amen.
How I wish all Sabbath School members and teachers were that lively and interactive in a study of the Word of God. I wish everyone around the globe could have access to Hope Sabbath School. I'm blessed so much and sharpened by your teaching of the Word of God. God bless you and the ministry. And please pray for all of us around the world that we would take the Word of God seriously.
Amen.
He ends by saying, go therefore and teach all nations. Amen. Well, thanks for writing to us, Elder Mulenga from Zambia. And one last note from Norway, but from some Australians living in Norway. We have a global family, don't we? Dear family in Christ, writes Manny, your ministry through Hope Sabbath School is powerful. All glory and honor to the God of our salvation and our soon coming King. I think he knows Jesus. My family and I recently moved to Norway from Australia. We currently live in a small village of about 700 people. The nearest church is about 20 kilometers away. We meet with two other families every Sabbath, and we use the Hope Sabbath School outline whenever I teach. Amen. It's been a blessing for all of us. I even have the Hope Sabbath School app on my iPhone. All and right. By the way, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, iPad, you can get the Android app or you can get the Apple app and you can download it free. Used right now in about 150 countries around the world and apparently being used in Norway by Manny on his tablet. But he's not done. He says, my son and I love to listen to your discussions every week. My son Flynn is 8 years old, and he loves Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
And he always reminds me when it's time to watch our weekly discussion. Please pray for me and my family and our little group here in Norway as we reach out to the communities around us. May God bless you in your ministry more abundantly. Well, thanks for writing to us, Manny. Isn't it amazing how God is raising up people all around the world, including little Flynn, who's 8 years old, who says, Daddy, let's study the Bible together. And we're just glad you're all part of our Hope Sabbath School family. If you haven't written to us, we'd love to hear from you. sshope@hopetv.org. Sometimes a grandma tells her daughter, I need you to send an email to sshope@hopetv.org. We're so glad to hear from little ones and older ones and everybody in between all around the world. But right now, we want to hear you sing. We've learned this beautiful theme song for our series on the Holy Spirit. You can download it from our website, but I'm sure you've already learned it by now. It's the fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to remember to smile while we sing. You know, always remember as we sing that song that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the last thing we want to do is to resist or grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so this lesson is so important today. And Puyi, as you lead us in the study, why don't we pray the Holy Spirit will be our teacher?
Sure. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have today, once again, to study your word. God, we pray that you will be with us. We ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit as we study on the topic of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we not only pray for our members here in the studio, but we pray for all our Hope Sabbath School members around the world.
Amen.
Wherever they may be, whenever it may be, God, we pray that you will be with them as well when they watch this program. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. So this series we have been studying on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And today, it's the title of our study is Grieving and Resisting the Holy Spirit. We have a very sensitive topic to study, as Derek mentioned. But before we go into the study, I just want to review a little bit of what we have learned so far so that we can have a foundation for what we will be studying today. So we have learned that the Holy Spirit is God, a part of the Godhead. And because the Holy Spirit is so close to us in working with us every day, the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a force, but a person. So having said that, let's go into our study. Stephanie, would you start our study by reading Acts chapter 7, verse 51? And after reading this, I will ask the question, if the Holy Spirit is so powerful, and if the Holy Spirit is God, is there any way for us to resist the Holy Spirit? Before we answer that, Stephanie.
All right, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you.
Mm. Wow. All right. Amen. So, from this verse, what does the verse tell us in terms of resisting or listening to the Holy Spirit? Is there any way for us to resist this all-powerful God, the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
So how is that possible? If the Holy Spirit is so powerful and all-powerful, how is it that we can resist the Holy Spirit? Yes, Juliana.
Well, the Holy Spirit, as you said, is part of the Godhead, and God gave us free choice, and God is respectful of that choice. So even though the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, He chooses to allow us to choose Him or not.
I think you're absolutely right. Yes, Jason.
In the verse there, it says, in heart, and so we can choose to shut the Holy Spirit out of our heart. We get to choose what comes into our heart, and we can choose to accept God, or we can choose to push Him away.
That's right. Before we go on, what verse is this based on? What story is this from? Can anyone tell us the summary of where we get this verse from? Yes, Nathan.
Well, Stephen was on trial, and he began to preach a sermon. It was actually about a 7-minute long sermon, if you read it. And he was reviewing the history of the people of Israel. And at this point where we read, he suddenly hits them with the powerful message that they are stiff-necked and uncircumcised because they've been resisting the Holy Spirit. Just as their forefathers killed prophets before that were sent, now they have killed the one that God sent as His Son. So he's really appealing to them because they have been so difficult in resisting God's Spirit.
Right. So to resist the Holy Spirit is to not open our hearts to the Word of God and to His prophets. Yes, Derek.
And just to build on what Nathan said, he's not on trial for driving too fast. Or he's on trial because he believes in Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the book of Acts describes him as full of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of truth. So when he says, you are resisting, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's not just his opinion.
Yes.
He's telling the truth that, as Juliana said, they are exercising their free will in a way that will lead to their destruction by rejecting Jesus.
Powerful. Yes, Andre.
Well, Juliana and Jason have mentioned about, Jason in particular, about the heart. And so it's talking about the inner workings, allowing the Spirit into your inner workings of your mind and your heart, et cetera. And so we see that as possible because even when you look at a stone that's been on a riverbed for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, you can take that remove that stone and crack it open, and the inside can be completely dry. Mm-hmm. And so just in the same way, we can be immersed in the Spirit all around us, the power of God, et cetera. But if we don't allow it into our inner workings, then that in effect, we've resisted.
Right. One thing for sure is God never forces Himself upon us.
That's right.
God always gives us that freedom of choice. So Jason, can you please continue our study by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And we will be looking at this verse. Let's see. Now that we have established that there is a way for us to resist the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit never forces upon us. So what happened when we resist the Holy Spirit? Yes, Jason.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption."
Mm. Thank you for reading this. What does this verse tell us? Do not what?
Grieve.
Do not grieve. So meaning when we resist the Holy Spirit, we are grieving the Holy Spirit.
You know, that same word that's used here of grieving the Spirit is the word that's used with Jesus in Gethsemane when he says, "My heart is extremely sorrowful." And of course, it's interesting that you're seeing that he's sorrowful in the garden because of all of the sin of the world. And the Holy Spirit is grieving when we refuse to accept God's salvation. It's that, but it's more than just, well, he's upset. It's like this deep sorrow the Holy Spirit feels when we push him away.
Right. Yes, Sean.
I was just going to echo that because, I mean, if you're a parent or if you are married, you know, if you're separated from someone you truly love or someone you truly care for or someone you're trying to reach, there's no feeling like that in the world, and that's why this wording is so appropriate for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we study that chapter carefully, if we go up a little bit, you know, higher to verse 25 from there, we will see different behaviors that the Holy Spirit can be bereaved from. Chris, can you please read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 down through verse 31?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice."
So in these verses, we find certain behaviors in which the Holy Spirit can be grieved. My question is, what do these behaviors all have in common? Mm-hmm. Yes, Chris?
How we treat other people.
How we treat other people. Yes, Nicole?
It also has an air of selfishness. It's very much a thing you do to please yourself. You steal because you might covet or you might envy what someone else has. You lie because you want to protect yourself. So they all seem very selfish, which, of course, is not reflective of the Holy Spirit.
I was thinking they're the exact opposite, Puy, of our song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's the exact opposite. So it's behavior that is triggered when the Holy Spirit's not in control of our lives.
Right. When we study this chapter carefully, the author is Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the people, to the Christians in Ephesus, and he's encouraging them to be in the Lord. So studying the background of this, we can learn that to grieve the Holy Spirit is to willfully sin, even after we have accepted Jesus, even after we have received the Holy Spirit from God, to continue to sin is grieving the Holy Spirit. Now that we have studied on behaviors that brings a sorrow to the heart of the Holy Spirit, why don't we read some verses that will bring joy and positive to the heart of the Holy Spirit? Gary, can you please read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace."
Thank you. And Shion, can you please read for us Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and we will continue to see what other conduct brings joy to the heart of the Holy Spirit.
I'll be reading from New Living Translation. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
Amen. Amen. So if we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be the followers of Christ, the moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Amen. And with that power, we now can be more like Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. But if we willfully continue to sin, that is when we grieve the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, if we treat others with love and all the verses that we just read, it will be, what was that? Sweet
aroma. Sweet-smelling aroma.
Sweet-smelling aroma. Yes, Sean.
And I'd just like to point out, in still in Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 32, the one thing that stands out to me, we didn't read it, but it's the
Do you want to read it?
Sure.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Yes, please.
And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Amen.
And to me, that's, you know, I don't know what else besides what we read would make the Holy Spirit more happy, because this is how he is approaching us. Mm. All these verses we read has to be sprinkled with this forgiveness, because that's why we're only able to have salvation in Christ.
Right, right. Now, we have looked at different aspects of the Holy Spirit, in that we can resist the Holy Spirit, and there's a way for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. There's another aspect that our lesson brings to us. Nathan, can you please read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And we will see another aspect of the Holy Spirit in terms of his personhood. Yes.
All right, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Do not quench the Spirit. Short and to the point.
Yes. Do not quench. What comes to your mind when you hear the word quench?
Thirst.
Thirst?
Fire.
That's one way. Yes, Gloria?
Fire.
Fire. Quenching the fire.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as Gloria. Mm-hmm. To extinguish in some way. Mm-hmm. And of course you say, how can we extinguish God? Which of course we can't, but somehow we extinguish his influence in our lives. Mm-hmm. So it seems kind of related to resistance, but what happens when we try to stop that influence from his presence impacting us?
Mm-hmm. The question is it possible to really quench or to really extinguish the Holy Spirit? But if the Bible tells us, as Nathan just read, do not quench, don't do it, meaning there is a point. There can, even though the Holy Spirit is all loving, even though the Holy Spirit is so loving towards us, there can be a point where we might extinguish his calling. Yes, Nicole.
When I said thirst for quench, I was just thinking the opposite. We're not thirsty for Christ. Mm. And so without having the thirst for him, you quench the Spirit being able to fill you. And that's what I was thinking about when I said thirst.
Yes, Andre.
The other word that comes to mind is, when we say quench, is dismiss. Mm. And so, one way that we can quench the Spirit is to dismiss it and say, I don't need you, you can't do anything for me. And in essence, again, we're pushing Christ, we're pushing him out of our life.
Right, right. So my next question is, how can we prevent, or how can we avoid quenching or extinguishing the Holy Spirit? But before we answer that, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 20. Kenneth, can you please read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20? And we will answer the question, how can we prevent or avoid quenching the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, do not despise prophecies.
Do not despise prophecies. So the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, teaches us or let us know the way we should go or the way we should live. And through his indwelling power, he gives us the ability to change from our behaviors and to be more like Jesus. Yes, Kenneth, you want to comment on that?
The answer to the question you asked earlier on is given in the verse 20 and then the preceding verses. It says, do not despise prophecy.
Yes.
Because prophecies are given by God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one says, test all things and hold fast to that which is true. And then abstain from every form of evil.
Right.
When you are doing this, then you are inviting. If you are not doing this, then you are quenching the spirit away from
you. Right. Thank you for bringing that up, because I was just going to mention that even though God wants us to pray for the Holy Spirit at the same time. Can you kindly read that? Verse 21, you just mentioned it, chapter 5, verse 21 of 1 Thessalonians.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, test all things, hold fast what is good.
Test all things. So God wants us to test, to be careful. Why do you think we need to be careful, and why do you think we need to test of whether we are receiving the Holy Spirit or not, or how are we exactly to test it? Anyone? Yes, Nicole, you pointed something.
You have to hold it up against the Word. I mean, whatever information you're receiving, whatever ideas you have, they must be fulfilled in the Word. They must be able to be proven in the Word that they are from Christ.
Right, based on the Word of God. Yes, Gloria.
I think that I wanted to go back to how we quench the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking that in my mind, it's not about one channel where the Holy Spirit fills and that's it. You have different channels, and quenching the Holy Spirit is not shutting the Holy Spirit and getting something into it. It's like having two ideas and values, and the Holy Spirit means the truth, but then because you are holding the two values which are competing against each other, you tend to shut down one of them because you can only so much as pay attention to one of them. And so when it says test all forms of things or test two things, it means make sure that you're giving the attention to the Holy Spirit or the right things that are in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Now the next question is it possible to unintentionally quench the Holy Spirit without knowing it? Yes, Kenneth, and then Nathan.
I can use Saul of Tarsus, his lifestyle, as an example, because in his mind, he thought he was doing something for God, but not knowing the very thing he was doing was rather resisting the Spirit. That's why when Christ met him on the way on Damascus, God said, why are you resisting me? So you can do some things with good intention, thinking that you are serving God, when actually you are rather doing a disservice to God.
Thank you. Yes, Nathan.
I agree with Kenneth that you can do that, but I think that the verb there, quench, has inherent in the meaning that you are willfully doing something.
Right.
To. I mean, I'm thinking of, doesn't John the Baptist say of Jesus that a smoking flax he will not quench and a bruised reed he will not break? In other words, he's going to be gentle. This is the Spirit's way. Jesus would be gentle like the Spirit, but that yet we can be just the opposite. And another, John the Baptist does use that word quench when he says unquenchable fire. He talks about that he will burn the chaff or the rubble, the stubble with unquenchable fire. So this idea that quenching means to put out. And I suppose that the Spirit's fire in our lives can be put out by choices we make, even that are not willful. But I think the most dangerous thing is the willful disobedience of the Spirit, because that's what drives him away.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, Chris.
I know for myself, I think there are times where I've justified certain behavior, thinking, oh, that's coming from the Holy Spirit, but because I want to be in control and I'm not willing to surrender. And so, like was shared before, dismissing until, because you know, you can feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, especially when you are searching the Scriptures.
Right.
But it's easy to want to be in control still,
right,
and not let that go.
Mm-hmm. So we have learned from this few verses, Apostle Paul is writing not only to the Ephesians, but also to us today, to be careful, to not quench the Holy Spirit. And not only that, to be careful and to test whether we are being filled by the right Holy Spirit or something else. Because I truly believe that the enemy is working very hard, not only today, but from a long, long time ago, to imitate or to bring the counterfeit experience to people and letting them feel as if they are receiving the Holy Spirit while it might be something else. So I believe that is why Apostle is telling us, be careful. Do not quench the Holy Spirit and test. And Nicole pointed out that we have to test based on the Word of God, whether if it aligns with the way the Word of God teaches us to live. Yes, Sean, did you
No, I was just thinking.
You know, I was just thinking, here's Paul writing, and I want to just agree with what Nathan said. I think that he was, Saul of Tarsus was resisting the Holy Spirit without knowing it. Mm-hmm. He thought he was doing what was right. And I imagine him now saying, I was perilously close. But the fact that we know he didn't quench the Spirit, in other words, have a totally hardened heart, is when he struck down on the Damascus Road, says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Then he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's not the response of a heart that is hardened to the Spirit. So I think he's warning us in some of these verses, you know, don't grieve, don't resist, because he's like, I was almost there and didn't even know it. But thank God the Holy Spirit didn't give up on me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now I want to ask, yes, Nathan.
I just want to say that, isn't it amazing how much power God gives to us with our free wills? The power to actually quench the Spirit or to grieve the Spirit, to resist the Spirit. That's a lot of power because he's God. And as we said, he could force himself on us.
Right.
But in his gentlemanly, kind, and respectful way, he doesn't force our will. That gives us a lot of power, the power to say yes or no to the God of all the universe. So,
amen, amen. And I believe true love must be accompanied by freedom of choice, right?
Yeah.
If God were to force himself upon us, or if the Holy Spirit were to force himself upon us, that would no longer be love.
Right.
Right. We would just be like automatic control by the Holy Spirit. Now, as you pointed out, the Holy Spirit truly loves us because he gives us the power whether to choose him or not to choose him. Now I want to ask, I want to give a chance to everyone. Is there any example from the Bible who attempted to quench the Holy Spirit? Can be from the Old Testament or from the New Testament. Is there anyone who wants to share as a story or verses that describe anyone trying or attempting to quench the Holy Spirit? Yes, Andre.
Of course, Balaam comes to mind, to the point where his animal had to speak up. The donkey had to speak up and let him know, you're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
You know, one of the saddest stories for me that Matthew records is where Jesus sets a man free from the dominion of a demon controlling him.
Right.
And the religious leaders, rather than recognizing as the work of the Spirit of God, try to say he's doing it by the power of the devil. They know it's not the power of the devil, and yet they refuse to believe in Jesus. And to me, that's one of the most tragic stories.
Right.
Because then you are really getting close to an unpardonable or an unforgivable place.
Right.
Because even when God works, you just dismiss it as being the work of Satan.
Right. Yeah. Yes, Kenneth?
For me, it's Apostle Paul, when he was presenting his case, I think either Felix or Festus, and then he said, you nearly made me believe. And from that time, we never read in the Bible where he had the chance to listen to this word of God. So these opportunities come once in a lifetime, and we shouldn't take it for granted.
I don't know if I agree with you, Kenneth. Forgive me, but I think that the opportunities come over and over and over again, not once in a lifetime. But that may have been his last opportunity, right? And we don't know when our last opportunity is. We could face death right after that. So I think we have to treasure every opportunity. But I am here to bear witness from my life that God came to me over and over again.
Amen. Amen.
And he didn't give up on me.
No. No. Of course, what comes to my mind is from the Old Testament, the story of Noah. Noah inviting people when God instructed Noah to build an ark. For 120 years, Noah kept on preaching, inviting people to accept God and to listen. Until that last moment, Noah was standing at the door of the ark, still inviting the people. Nobody wanted to join his family. For 7 days, it did not rain. But once it started raining, people wanted to go into the ark. But the angel of the Lord had closed the door of the ark. It was beyond what Noah could do. Noah could no longer open the door. The people back there, they had many chances to listen to the call of the Holy Spirit many times for 120 years, but they resisted. They kept on resisting the Holy Spirit. Yes, Nicole.
You just set up an opportunity to try and to accept the Holy Spirit, to accept Jesus and what his ministry was. And I think in the end, he just hardened his heart and really kind of decided to fulfill his selfish desires versus really accepting what Christ was giving him. So I would think of him when I think about quenching the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Mm. So my next question is, so why is attempting or why is trying to quench the Holy Spirit so dangerous for us?
You know, Puyi, I think yes. There's some people, maybe at one point I was there as a young man, but there's some people that say, I don't want to permanently quench the Holy Spirit, but maybe when I'm older, I'll follow God.
Right.
So I'm just kind of like Gloria was saying, I'm dividing my life into compartments, you know, and I'm going to live for me now. And I don't want to say God never speak to me, but just don't speak to me now. And that's so dangerous because it's possible that when he speaks later, I've silenced that that conviction so much that I'm deaf to his to his voice.
Right. Yes, Gary.
And I was just going to add that now is all we have. We don't know how long we're going to be here. So, I mean, yeah, I want to live for me now. I'll do it tomorrow, and then tomorrow never comes, and you're stuck in that state that you're in of now, just for me. That's so dangerous.
Nathan?
I was going to just build on what Derek shared, because it's a terrible gamble you're taking when you make the decision that I'll get back to God when it's convenient for me. When I share my testimony, I've shared with young audiences many times, and sometimes I'll have a young person come up to me and say, I want to do what you did. I want to go out and enjoy everything the world has to offer. I'm going to live it up, and when I'm ready, I'll come back to the church after I've had my fun. And I respond by saying, do you know how many of my friends never made it out of that lifestyle because they're either dead, they've overdosed, or they've committed suicide, or they're just stuck in an addictive lifestyle and can't get out of it, or they're so insensitive to the Spirit that they would never want to leave anyway. So you're taking a terrible risk if God's speaking to you now and you say, no, I'll do it on my terms. I'll come when it's convenient to me. That's really not how it works, and it's a gamble that you can't afford to take.
Right. Yes, Gloria?
And I'd like to add that it's the relationship that you build the Holy Spirit. So the earlier you have that relationship, or by God's grace, you establish that relationship you have with the Holy Spirit, the better for you. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus comes, he'll be like, I do not know you, or I know you. And knowing you means the relationship that you already have with him.
Yes, Andre.
The danger there, as everyone is saying, is you're building your house on the sand instead of on the rock. So when the rains come, when the deluge, the flood comes, and when the winds blow, your house is going to be torn down because you're not built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You need, so don't quench the Spirit.
Yes, amen. I think you're all correct. And I also want to point out that, remember when Jesus said, I will send another comforter. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what did Jesus say? He will convict you of your sins, right? So it is only through the power or through the work of the Holy Spirit that we know of our sinful state. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can change. So if we quench the Holy Spirit, who brings the conviction and the power to change, do we still have any more chance of living a different life than our sinful state? So it's not God or the Holy Spirit walking away from us when we say quench. It's more of we shutting the door so many times to the point that we reject the work of the Holy Spirit, which brings a conviction to our heart. And if we are no longer convicted of our sin, we would be living a normal life, thinking everything is still the same, while it might be that the Holy Spirit has been quenched in our life. Yes, Kenneth?
Yeah, I had wanted to share a text in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1.
Yes. This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12.
Verse 1.
Verse 1. Just give us time to find this. This is written by
Solomon.
I've been told that the wisest man on earth. yeah. right? Whoever lived, Solomon. So please read for us, Kenneth.
Yeah, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them." And the reason why I decided to share this text is one of my friends, he decided to, you know, enjoy the world, and says, when I'm old enough, then I'll come back to Christ. But he never made it. He stayed there, and then, you know, it wasn't right. So it tells me that I need to make sure that now is the time, because most of the time, as young people, we, those who do not allow themselves for the Spirit of God to use, they go into the world, and Satan uses them to the extent that if they are not careful, they don't get a chance to come back. So now that we have this golden opportunity, we shouldn't allow, you know, the idea that when you are old, but the Bible is telling us that if you are not careful when you are old, you may not have pleasure in them.
Interesting. Yes, Sean?
Another story I was thinking about of why it's dangerous to quench the Spirit was with Ananias and Sapphira. And one of the things that comes to my mind, I know we're reflecting on ourselves and us not trying to be lost, but there's a strange effect of dragging other people with you when you start quenching the Holy Spirit. And like Nathan said, you know, that young person didn't see the end result of going down that path. So the moment you start quenching, someone may have only seen you for that short duration and go, maybe I should start quenching the Holy Spirit, unintentionally, intentionally, or whatever it may be. And you constantly are just giving people over to Satan just freely, and there's no purpose in doing that. So it's very dangerous when you try to quench.
Based on your comment, Nathan, you remind me of experience that my family had when we went to the Philippines. When we moved there, we were right beside the highway. Our apartment was right beside the highway. And at first, it was so noisy for us. At night, we couldn't sleep because all night long, there were buses, there were cars, and the horn, you know. We thought it was just so loud. But after a month, after 2 months, after 3 months, we slept peacefully as if there's no cars running at all. You see, we change. We can adapt to our situation. When we sin, when we continue to willfully sin, it's not that the Holy Spirit has stopped calling us, but it's that we have been so used to the state that we have been in that we can no longer hear the call of the Holy Spirit. I want to bring us to the next point. Some people think, you know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, let's read that first before we go to that point. Jason, can you please read that for us? Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come.
This is one of those cryptic language that Jesus uses. You know, it's very interesting. Some people, when studying about the unforgivable sin, when we talked about murder, people will think, oh, I've murdered someone. Maybe I'm no longer forgivable. Maybe God can no longer forgive me. But is murder an unpardonable sin?
No.
No, how can we say that, Kenneth? Is there any example from the Bible?
Yeah. In the Bible, we have, I would say, someone like Saul.
Saul?
Because he contributed to the death of Stephen.
Right.
But yes, though, he repented and God forgave him.
Right. What about Moses, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Moses
King
killed.
David.
King David. There are many examples which shows that murder is not the unforgivable sin. Many people believe that there may be specific sin against the Holy Spirit, such as murder or idolatry or some other commandments out of the Ten Commandments. But we have multiple examples from the Bible where God can forgive sins. Amen. But in this verse that Jesus spoke, he said, the sin against the Holy Spirit, or the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven. This is one of those interesting comments. Derek, do you want to add any comment
on that? Well, you know, someone pointed something out in this text. It doesn't say cannot be forgiven. Mm. Because the Bible doesn't say if we confess our sins, yes. 1 John 1, verse 9, mm-hmm. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm. So what does it mean then, will not? And I think it's back to that great illustration you gave about you just become deaf.
Right.
You don't hear the noise of the traffic anymore. Mm. The reason I can blaspheme and say that's not the work of God when actually the Spirit's saying, yes, it is, or Jesus is not the Messiah when the Holy Spirit's saying, yes, He is because I don't hear anymore. And so I'm not even going to ask for forgiveness. Mm. It will not be forgiven. Because I come to the place where I'm not even going to confess it as sin. Mm. I'm not even going to ask for forgiveness. Mm. That's the hardening of the heart that is so dangerous.
Right. Yes, Andre.
And coming from the same place of not even asking for it, there's the other side of it where you feel that you're so bad that you cannot be forgiven. Mm. So you're saying to the Holy Spirit, your power does not go so low. Doesn't go as low as I am. I'm the worst of the worst. And so that's another way to blaspheme the Spirit is to say, you cannot save me. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone.
Right. I think we are in a way answering the next question that I was going to ask, which is, how does a person come to the place where he or she no longer desires to ask for forgiveness? I believe you have answered partly how we can come to that point where we no longer desire mm-hmm. the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Nathan, you wanted to comment on the previous.
Well, I was going to say earlier that look at Christ on the cross. Mm. Is there any sin that His death could not atone for? Mm. Mm. And you know, we cannot say, well, this is the one. You know, Christ, His death, His life was perfect, and His death was for atonement of all sins except this one. That's not true, right?
Right.
And as Derek pointed out, it's not because His death was not sufficient. Because He is our all-sufficient Savior.
Amen.
It's because we will not ask for the forgiveness.
Amen. Right. I once heard of a story from Europe somewhere where a man decided to go walk along the beach looking for some shells along the seashore. And there was a sign that said, danger, do not go beyond this point. When the waves come, it's dangerous. But that man decided, well, you know, when I see the waves come or when I see the tide comes, I'll just go back quickly and I'll be safe. But he went beyond that danger zone. Hmm. And before he knew it, while he was looking for one shell to another, looking at these beautiful things, suddenly a wave washed over him and he never knew it. He never saw it coming. You see, it's not really the Holy Spirit leaving us behind and not trying to bring us back to God, but it's more that there's a possibility for us to go beyond that point where we can no longer hear, or even if we want to go back, it might be too late for us. Yes, Nicole?
Well, we're talking about patterns. We're forming a pattern of not listening to the Holy Spirit, which is going to become a habit,
right.
Which is going to become our character.
Mm.
And so once you get to the point where it's your character of not listening any longer, you're at a place now where you've asked before, you no longer desire. You no longer desire to ask because you haven't formed that pattern of asking, and so you no longer do it.
Right.
You know, I wanted to respond to what Andre said, and I relate to that in terms of I've committed so many bad things. But lest someone's watching the program and says, that's me.
Right.
I would say the fact that you realize how many bad things you've done may be an indication that the Holy Spirit has not been silenced in your life.
Right.
That He's still calling you to say, you know, Jesus died to save sinners. Yes. Isn't that what Saul said when he became Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Christ died for sinners.
Right.
I was the worst one.
Yes.
So don't give up. If there is that conviction, I've just made such a mess of my life.
Mm.
That may very well be the Holy Spirit calling you right there.
Right.
To surrender.
Amen.
And because Jesus came for sinners. And I love what Nathan said. Jesus didn't say, Father, forgive some of them. Father, forgive them. So if we respond to that grace, we can all be forgiven.
Amen. 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 I just want to look at one person from the Bible who, regardless of the call of the Holy Spirit, rejected the call so many times that the Holy Spirit has left him. Nathan, can you please read for us 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26. And Juliana, if you can get ready to read the next verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Nathan?
All right, I'm reading from the New King James Version. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.
Mm. If we read the whole story, God appointed Saul to be the king over Israel. But many times he rejected the instruction, many, many times. And there came a point when he was told, God has rejected you. Mm. Juliana, can you please read the next verse? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him.
Mm. The Spirit of the Lord departed.
Mm.
Now, if we continue reading the story of Saul, it is very sad how his life ended. It's never a good story when a person is left by the Holy Spirit. Mm. But I just don't want to end our study there. I want to end with a positive note here. We have mentioned King David. Mm. King David, after committing adultery, deception, and murder, he was in great danger of eternal separation from God. But he repented, right? He repented, like Derek, you said, when we respond to God. When we respond to the calling of God, God is always ready to forgive us.
Amen.
That is such a good news. And he prayed a beautiful prayer here in Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 to 12. Stephanie, can you please read that for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. What a beautiful prayer. What important lesson can we learn from those beautiful prayer? Which part of the verse stands out the best for you, Nathan?
I love two things that I saw there. He says, purge me with hyssop. And the hyssop branch was what was used to apply the blood in the sanctuary system. And so it's really claiming the blood of Christ is how it applies to us today in New Testament times, that we're purged, we're cleansed because Christ died for us. There's where we find our righteousness. And then the beautiful thing he says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart. It's God's creative power at work. We don't have to work it up within us and say, let me be better. God creates something within us, a new clean heart that we can go forward and live victoriously without sin. And then further down, which we didn't read, he says, restore, you know. And so God is restoring us, making us in his image again. And it's beautiful. I love to see that because it's all his work in us.
Amen, amen. Andre, I want to ask you to read for us Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. This is the promise that God has given us when we accept his salvation. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Amen. 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 What a loving God we have.
Amen.
So in summary today, we have learned that the Holy Spirit is a person, and we can resist the Holy Spirit. And we have, let's say, we have the power to resist or disobey the Holy Spirit. But the danger is, there's a point of no return. There can be a time, there can be a point where we reject the Holy Spirit so many times that we can no longer hear the call. But the good news is, if we listen today, today if we listen to the call of the Holy Spirit, God is ready to forgive us.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Puya. What a great series of studies we've had. And thank you for the counsel today. And thank you to you, our Hope Sabbath School member, wherever you are around the world. We've heard a warning. Don't resist. Don't grieve. Don't walk to that perilous danger. Do not enter place. But hear the loving call to turn away from destruction and turn to salvation. Oh, my prayer for each one of us is that we would not only make that decision, but is there someone you need to pray for? While there's still time, let's pray for them today. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the mercy that you showed to us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit never walked away from us, but kept calling us, showing us the truth of Jesus, calling us to salvation and to a new life in Christ. Oh Lord, you know there's some people on our hearts right now who are in a dangerous place. We pray for them. We thank you that you love them with an everlasting love. And Lord, if there's some way we could join with your Spirit, if there's something you want us to do to show them your love, please guide us. We thank you that you never give up on any of your children. And I pray your love would flow through us in the days ahead to bless the lives of those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. God bless you.